And now for the sermon, an elder in the area, Mr. Joe Horchak.
Thank you, Mr. Walden, and good morning to everybody, or afternoon, wherever you might be, or maybe even evening. I don't know where you are, but welcome to services here today. My dear wife is out of town. She went to visit her mother once again, who, by the way, is doing outstanding. She has a beach house about 3 hours away from where she lives in the valley, and she's driven it by herself now 3 times. So she's doing really well, very excited about having Jackie come and visit her again, and then Jackie's going to be babysitting our grandchildren back in California for about 4 or 5 days because my son and his wife are taking a belated anniversary trip to Cancun. So grandma gets to watch the one-year-old, which will be a little bit of a challenge, I think, and then Chevelle, who's 4 years old. So anyway, they're going to have a great time together, and then I'm going to join her later on after about a week and a half, and then we're going to golf for a few days and come on back home. So anyway, great time with her. She's really looking forward to it, all excited about being there. Once again, I never cease to be amazed at how many times the sermonette is like the perfect setup for the sermon. You'll see what I mean in just a little bit. Well, greetings to everyone here in Tucson and all of our friends out there in webcast land, wherever you may be. Well, as we heard a little bit earlier, we're only about 2.5 weeks away from Passover, and it's hard to believe it's that close. But it is. To begin with today, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. This passage in 1 Corinthians 11 is a crucial point that can have a very negative impact on our lives if we choose to take it lightly or to ignore it. There are several medical conditions where people are encouraged to do what is known as self-examinations. There are some very important ones for men as well as women, and are encouraged by the medical world to do those self-examinations once in a while. I know some of you in the audience, as well as others that we know, have used these self-exams to discover situations that made it possible for positive treatment. And that's a positive thing to look forward to. Some of which have even helped prevent serious illnesses with diseases like cancer for both men and women. Paul understood that for us to properly and respectfully and meaningfully partake of the Passover, there was a preparation process that we must go through. It is the process of self-examination. Let's begin our look here in 1 Corinthians 11 at this point of important preparation prior to the Passover. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is basically a summary of the Passover ceremony aside from the foot washing. Then Paul makes a strong statement about how we are to prepare, participate in this ceremony that he just gave it to us. Verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." The Greek term here that is translated unworthy manner or unworthily is the Greek word spelled in English, A-N-A-X-I-O-S, anaxios. And it literally means irreverent and in an unworthy or careless manner. It can also mean to knowingly do it with imperfection, which is essentially tantamount to knowingly and willingly sinning. Let's continue, verse 28. Paul goes on, he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or have died. This is serious stuff. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned in the world. And in verse 28, the Greek word for examine is dokimazo, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. The Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament defines this term as to test, examine, prove, scrutinize to see whether a thing be genuine or not, like proofing or testing gold with fire, and to recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, deem worthy, to discover what God's will is. That term is a mouthful. Yet it's the term that Paul chose to say we need to do prior to Passover. So as we can see, this is not something to be taken lightly. On the contrary, it is quite important. And it's important to note that we only have 2.5 weeks to do this, if we haven't done it already. Normally, this is a long-term process. At least it is for me. I've got to start months beforehand and keep digging and keep digging and asking God to open my mind and my heart and my understanding to those flaws. Because we don't like to look at those flaws. And sometimes when God brings them to the forefront of our minds, we want to turn away. We really don't want to address it. And that's the trouble of taking the Passover. We've got to address these things. We've got to come clean, if you will, before God and Jesus Christ. Let's now go over to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. A little too far. Here in Psalm 4, we'll begin a review of David's approach to self-examination. He's a great example of this type of thing. We will see that David essentially put himself under a microscope to look at how he was doing, which is what I've entitled this sermon, Under a Microscope. We'll look at several comments in the Psalms to widen our perspective on the subject of examining ourselves prior to the Passover. Prior to taking the Passover symbols, it is vital that we individually go to God and ask Him to reveal to us where the impurities exist in our lives. I propose to you that we as human beings are incapable of truly doing that for multiple reasons. One, we don't like looking in the negativities of ourselves or who we are as weakness. Not unlike the goldsmith or silversmith who must heat the metals to over 2,800 degrees to finally get the impurities out. Sometimes it takes the heat and the pressures of life for us to do the same thing. Then through God's Spirit leading us, we can go to His Word and reflect on it and hopefully purge out the stuff that needs to be gotten rid of. This can all bring us to areas of weaknesses that we may have to the surface and then to address them and hopefully remove them and be corrected before the past Passover. Now, am I saying we need to become perfect before we take the Passover? No. But if we're working on it and diligently trying to get better at whatever it is we're trying to get better at, I think God and Jesus Christ both respect that and they know it's not going to happen overnight. That's why I start so early, because I'm a slow learner sometimes when it comes to this kind of stuff, especially when it comes to changing me. Okay, let's look at Psalm 4, and we're going to read just one verse, Psalm 4, verse 4. Paul writes, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still." Selah. Sound familiar? This is what Paul quoted when he made the statement in Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. And I'm not going to turn there, But this is what it says. Be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place or an opportunity to the devil. And that's what anger can do to us. We can get so worked up that we get right at the edge of sinning. And Paul called it the root of bitterness, or Christ. And this is something we can't allow to come into our lives, because then it becomes almost impossible to get rid of. Paul's concern, and probably David's, was that we don't allow this root of bitterness to step into our lives. Because when that happens, we have allowed Satan, listen to this, when that happens, we have allowed Satan to be in control of our emotions. That is a scary thought. Flip over a few pages to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. As we'll see in Psalm 26, David knew that he had to look inwardly, regularly, to be able to keep from getting all twisted up inside. Not only that, but we just saw it can allow Satan to enter our world firsthand. And once Satan steps in, he's so cunning that we may not even recognize that he's there. We must always understand that it is only God who has the power to forgive sins. Jesus Christ already paid the penalty for the death of each one of us individually. This too cannot be taken lightly in our self-examination process. That relationship that we have with Christ because of him willing to die that brutal death so that we don't have to because of our sinning. Each year we should take time to remind ourselves of God the Father and Jesus Christ's incredible love for us and mercy that he has given or shown to all of us. Remember, Christ, we're told Christ did all that, went through all that pain, all that anguish, all that suffering, ultimately his death, while we were still sinning. He didn't wait for us to turn around before he did that. He did it so that we could turn around. Let's look here in Psalm 26 and begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 26, verse 1. David writes, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip." After stating his personal position with God, I wonder how many of us would be willing to say what David said next. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." And folks, that's basically what we need to do. Go to God and ask him to show us, not us guessing at those things we need to change and purge out. In other words, Paul said, put me on trial and cross-examine me. Test my motives and test my heart. Put me under a microscope, God, and let me see it. That would be great if we could approach God like that. But we better be prepared for a reality check if we do. That is a prayer God is more than willing to answer if our hearts are truly sincere. Before we leave the book of Psalms, let's go to one more passage in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This passage is where David said, no matter where I go, there you are, speaking of God. He said, I can go up to the sky, I can go down into the grave, I can go to the depths of the ocean, and you're still going to be there. In other words, we can't escape. We can't hide like Jonah tried to do. And as we'll read in the last couple of verses here in Psalm 139, we'll see an approach that all of us could benefit from, especially in light of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9. In case you forgot what that says, you don't need to turn there. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Certainly not us. Not like God does. Then verse 10 in Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's a scary thought. Because if we've got something deep down inside that we essentially refuse to or can't change or correct, we're a breeding ground for trauma in our lives. David here in Psalm 139 seemed to understand this whole concept of the human mind. How it can play tricks on us. And if we don't believe that, excuse me, we're in deep trouble. Let's begin in Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." In other words, show me the way out. Show me the wickedness. Show me the part that's bad that I need to purge out, and then guide my path to be able to get through that. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And if we face something really difficult in our lives, all we have to do is call on Jesus Christ's promise. "I need your help right now. I can't do this. I can't make this correction." I don't know if you've ever faced something like that in your life, but I have. And you have to go to Christ. You have to go to God and ask for that extra power and strength to get over that hump. Because sometimes that hump, if it's allowed to stay there, will kill you. It'll destroy our lives. We can't let that happen. David wanted God to search his heart and let him know what he came up, where he came up short. That's probably the best way to go through the process of self-examination for all of us to do. Ask God to show us what we are really like internally and where our shortcomings and faults are. Again, if we choose to go down that path, I know from personal experience, be prepared, because when that request is answered, it can be tough, because you have to swallow hard sometimes and say, "You know what, I forgot. I really am like that. I need to change that." Job had a similar perspective as David did. Let's go to Job 13 and see what I mean. Another individual who went through some really challenging times in his life. Here in Job 13, Job is well into his trauma that was caused by Satan and allowed by God. And every time I read into this book, I remind myself, God sometimes allows Satan to do things to see where we're going to go with it. He wants to know where we are, where we stand. He had already gone through cursing his birth, acknowledging that his grief was too great to bear. Job complains about all that he has gone through and even wishes that he were dead. Okay, if you've ever gotten to that point in your life, you're in some pretty decent company. Job for one, Elijah for another, and others. It's not a sin to get that down. It's a sin not to recover from it and not to address it. Something's causing us to feel like that. And getting at the root cause of these things in our lives helps us clean it up, so we can get back on the road to recovery, get our vitality back, our strength back, our spirituality back, and start moving forward positively in our lives again. Let's see here in Job 13, one of the things that Job actually asks of God. And again, I wonder how many of us are brave enough to ask this sort of thing in our self-examination process. Just one verse again, Job 13 and verse 23. "How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin." Job was really hurting when he said this. And if any of that pain was because of his transgressions, he wanted to know what they were so he could fix it. Again, I wonder if when we are really struggling with something in life, if we consider that it may have something to do with the way we've been living our lives. Maybe some hidden sins and shortcomings. Flip over a few pages to Job 23. Job 23. We just saw that Job had asked God what his iniquities and sins were. He wanted to know what he may have overlooked. That's typically what it would be, is an overlooking on our part. Or maybe even ignored so that it could be corrected. He knew he was being purged. He knew he was being tested. And he felt at times it was almost too much. And again, I know some of you in this room have probably been that far down the road in your life. I can't take anymore. Sounds a bit like Elijah and the troubles that he faced. Here in Job 23, Job realizes all of his testing and trying will have a positive result if he can make amends and repent where necessary. He knows that would help turn things around. Again, just one verse, Job 23 and verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew that if he trusted in God and allowed God to lead and guide him, no matter what he was going through, when he comes out the other end, he's going to be like a pure piece of gold. Beautiful, shining, yellow gold. Not a bad outcome to be looking forward to. Essentially, he's saying, I'm as good as gold if I can do this. I suppose that the hard part is to believe that through this introspection, this self-examination with God's help, that we can really make a profound change. A change for the good. But it was like these individuals were willing to put themselves under a microscope to be examined. If we are asking God to help us in the examination process, it will be specific and probably detailed. Let's look at what Paul once again added about this whole concept back in 2 Corinthians this time. 2 Corinthians 13. Here, Paul in 2 Corinthians 13 lays a responsibility on each of us to be able to discern as to where we actually stand as Christians. I've had people in the past, in all the years that I've served in the ministry, how can I know if I really have God's Spirit? Here in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul basically gives us the answer to that question. But it's not something we can or will do naturally. It's just too hard and sometimes too condemning. We may not want to face the reality about us. Let's look again at one verse here, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Paul says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." This is a very powerful verse. When he came to understand it, especially. Paul is saying, take a look at yourself and ask yourself, am I in the faith? Am I living as though it was Jesus Christ living in me? Is there a noticeable change on how I think and how I act? Is it obvious to me that I'm that way? Let's turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. While we're turning to 1 John 2, let's rehearse a couple of other points that we can examine ourselves against. Paul gave us a listing of characteristics that should be apparent in us if we are in the faith. I'm not going to turn there, but you can write this passage down in your notes if you'd like. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. I'm not going to turn there, but let me give you those fruits of the Spirit again. And again, in our self-examination, these 9 points, we should be asking ourselves, where do I stack up? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the standards by which we are being judged, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not. And then we need to think about John 13, verse 35, where Jesus Christ himself said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This theme of loving one another has dawned on me recently. We've heard that a lot over the last couple of years. I think God's trying to send us a message that we need to really focus on that. And I'm not talking about just brotherly love. I'm talking about the agape love of 1 Corinthians 13. Let's begin here. Look at 1 John 2, where John amplifies on all this discussion applicable to self-examination and as to whether or not we are in the faith. Let's begin in 1 John 2 and verse 3. Keep in mind we are looking at ways to assess in a self-examination as to how we are doing as a Christian. 1 John 2, verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Good point. "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Sort of reminds me again of that bumper sticker of t-shirts that we've seen people toting around, WWJD. What would Jesus do? So we can see that there are ways to assess if we are in the faith. Let me read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 once again. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Jesus Christ is living in us. If he's living in us, we should be able to follow his lead in our lives and to recognize his role in our lives as our Passover. If Christ is living in us, through the power of God's Spirit, he can speak to us. You ever had a thought go through your mind when you're doing something or not doing something, and the thought is, I should be doing something different? Sometimes it's just a fleeting thought. But if we entertain the thought, we realize it could very well be Jesus Christ speaking to us through God's Holy Spirit in a thought process. I wouldn't go down that path if I were you. I'd turn left instead of right. And that's some of the ways that we can make those corrections in our lives. He went through a lot for us to be able to have the unique opportunity to know the truth and to be able to be a living example of it. And that's what this is all about. You and me walking around as living examples of Jesus Christ here on this earth. Let's turn over to Titus next. Titus chapter 3. Titus is one of those short epistles that we don't go to very often. Right after 1 and 2 Timothy. But Paul here in Titus 3 broadens our perspective on our self-examination and how it relates to Jesus Christ once again. Earlier in the book, Paul addresses the appointing of elders and gave some of the qualifications for Titus to consider. Then he discusses how individuals were causing strife within the church, as was alluded to in the first message this morning. Then guidelines he gives them for older men, older women, younger men, and younger women. He then touches on a subject that plays into the message today. Let's pick it up in Titus 3 and begin reading in verse 1. Titus 3, verse 1. "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Paul is giving instruction on proper conduct in all that we do in the church and as Christians. Verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. It's good to be reminded from where we came. And this happens to me sometimes in prayer. And I think it's one of the ways that God uses to keep us humble. Because when you're praying and all of a sudden a thought darts into, maybe I'm the only one that this happens to, I don't know. It shows how weird I might be. I'm here, I am praying to God, and all of a sudden this evil thought pops into my brain about something I've done in my past. At first, it really concerned me from a different standpoint. Now it concerns me from a very positive standpoint. That's one of those things I missed. And I've got to repent of it. That's the specificity that God and Jesus Christ can get with us in our lives. Let's go on to verse 4. He said, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us, and we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, and all for a purpose. This is not just a process we go through to have us jump through hoops. It has specific purpose to it. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Then he basically wraps it all up for us and redirects us toward good behavior. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. See, sometimes we'll read through a passage like this and we'll miss that constantly word. I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Paul's telling us here, this takes a conscious effort. We just can't go about life willy-nilly and expect it to work right. We've got to stop ourselves every once in a while, and maybe while we're driving down the road, maybe while we're even in a meeting. Or maybe when we're doing something else, out golfing, out swimming, out walking. That we start thinking, is there anything that I could do differently from this second on and today that would be beneficial for me as a Christian and others around me? This is being careful to maintain good works. This project of maintaining good works is also part of the self-examination process before Passover season. It's basically what we hear each week from the pulpit. How to maintain our Christian walk while honoring and appreciating what Jesus Christ, our Passover, has done for all of us. Let's now go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Paul, once again, will give us a little more insight on this subject here in Galatians 6. He was really tuned in to the relationship with Jesus Christ and our need to respect and build on that as well. He went through a lot in his life. Remember how he got struck blind so God, Christ could get his attention? And then once he got his attention, Paul did a flip-flop, became a servant of Christ instead of a killer of Christ in his way of life. But the thing that always struck me when I read through that back in Acts is that Christ told Paul all of the sufferings that he was going to have to go through to be a Christian. I can't even imagine what must have gone through Paul's mind at first, knowing what he was going to have to go through, and he went ahead anyway. And I think that's some of the reasons why some of Paul's writings, it's so heartfelt in that relationship with Christ and the power and strength that Christ brings and can bring to our lives. Here he starts with a well-known comment about dealing with each other when there's sin involved, and then helping the one in sin to be restored. This is another form of having love for one another. Let's begin in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's sins, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This takes a real converted individual with loving, caring, and a very gentle heart. Because we can actually offend the person and cause matters to go from bad to worse because of our approach. It has to come across as a loving, caring, nurturing, and encouraging form. Concern for the well-being of the other person first and foremost when we approach them. Then a well-known statement from Paul that we've heard many, many times. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And keep in mind, he's talking about going to somebody who's in a fault. We've got to go that way in total humility. And that just doesn't happen overnight. That's a process in life that we need to go through. And this whole self-examination process, an effort that we put forth prior to Passover, leads to that. Then Paul points us back to where we began today, verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. In other words, focus on what we can do better. Not what someone else needs to do to improve themselves. That's very easy for us to do. Very common in Christianity. We have enough going on in our own lives to deal with. And that's where our focus needs to stay. As we get ready to close here, let's turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We've gleaned a lot from Paul today. He was very focused on this subject. He knew how important it was. Let's now take a peek at what Peter has to say here in 1 Peter 2. Peter does a good job of redirecting our attention and perspective to Christ, which is where it needs to be. He shows us that our efforts in the world should in some ways mimic how Christ handled things for us, or how he would be handling things for us. We'll start when we begin telling us, Peter will start when he tells us how to approach everyone and everything in our lives. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17. 1 Peter 2:17. Peter says, honor all people. You could stop right there and say, how do I do with that? I mean, there's a lot of nastiness going on in the world around us. There's a lot of crazy people out there right now. And I believe the majority of them are being influenced directly by Satan to really disrupt the human mind. Just pick any one of those names you want. I'm not going to mention any. And say, do I honor that person? I would have to say no by the way we talk about them. Paul's trying to point out something to us here. Every human being that was ever born is one of his children. They may be off track right now, maybe in a big way, that does not diminish their relationship with God, whether they like it or admit it or not. Sooner or later, they're going to be called. Sooner or later, God's going to correct all that. And Paul said, you know, you've got to honor people just as a human being. Love the brotherhood next. Now we're getting closer to home. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor the king means the leader of whatever it is you're participating in. In this country, it's a president. Now, that's a mouthful and hard to live up to, isn't it? Then a piece of advice that is also very hard to live up to. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. I've been in relationships in the past where my master was not a very nice human being. And I will admit, I haven't always responded properly to that. But if you choose to stay in that relationship, whatever that relationship is, we have to be submissive to them. It's a commandment. We have no choice. The only way we don't have to be submissive is to get out of the relationship. And again, I've had a boss or two in my life that would fall into that latter category as harsh. And I know this is tough. For this, in verse 19, this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? You had it coming. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Most of us aren't real good at that. It's a fact of life, and as human beings, if somebody treats us harshly, we want to retaliate. We don't want to just take it and move on. Again, these are actions in life that typically don't go well for us. Then Peter links it all back to Jesus Christ being in our lives. Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He then points out how we need to be following Christ's example as our Passover and our Savior. Verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, God the Father, who himself bore our sins on his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that, my friends, is an incredible relationship that we can all enjoy as followers of Jesus Christ. As we close, let's go back to where we began in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. As I mentioned earlier, we're only 2.5 weeks away or close to that from Passover. We have time to make sure we are fully prepared for it, thereby gaining the full benefit of the evening as well as the entire season. We don't know how many Passovers we have left in our lives. And that came out big this year for a lot of people. We just don't know. This could be the last. How would you like to go out? If it is, let's make the most of each and every one that we have left. This time in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll begin in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And folks, that's what we've been discussing through this entire sermon today. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I hope as a result of the day that all of us can be better prepared to fully and properly discern the Lord's body. Jesus' sacrifice for each and every one of us, which was enormous. Let's examine ourselves under a microscope this year and come out like a piece of gold after it's all done. Have a great Sabbath.